All right, take your Bibles tonight, 1 Samuel chapter number 3, chapter number 4. This one's hot off the heart, hot off the presses. Everybody, all you preachers know how it is. You preach two or three times in one day, and you think, well, I can probably preach that one that I preached before, and that didn't work out. We're glad to be here. We're going to preach tonight on making soup. Man, how many of you made some soup this weekend? We're going to try to draw a little application here. Soup's good. Christy made some soup yesterday. It's good. All right, 1 Samuel chapter number... Let's start in chapter number 3 tonight. If you want to just stay right there where you're seated. We'll try to read a few verses. I'm going to skip over some just for sake of time. And then we'll put the scripture away just for a minute and make some soup here. Get some ingredients out. Chapter number 3, verse number 19. Look what the Bible says. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. That's pretty good, isn't it? Amen. I wish we could all say that. I want to say that, don't you? Growing in the Lord, and the Lord's with him. And did none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh, notice, by the word of the Lord. It'll always be that way, won't it? Amen. And then verse number 1 in chapter number 4, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle. Pitched beside Ebenezer. The Philistines pitched in Aphek. The Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. And they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. When the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today?" It was God's fault, wasn't it? "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it come among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies." And then for sake of time, let's look it down at verse number 10. You're going to find out here in just a few minutes, they went back to battle. The Ark of the Covenant came. They went back to battle. The Philistines got a little bit afraid. Some religious things going on there. God really wasn't in it, though. And then let's look at verse number 9. Here's what the Philistine leader said. He said, "Be strong. Quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight." And the Philistines fought. And Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent, and there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And that's all we'll read there tonight. Just keep your Bibles open. I think it's important to explain something right here. The reason that God had this scripture on my heart is because of what was going on in the times of the Bible right here where we're at. If you know the story here, it's just after this, I think it's along about chapter number 8, that the nation of Israel really asked Samuel, they say, not so many words, "We're tired of following God. Won't you just give us a king like the rest of the nations have got?" And just before this, you'll read, and you don't need to turn there, but the Bible talks about how the Word of God was precious in these days. There was no open vision, and essentially what was going on, a lot of wickedness in the church. You had the main priest, Eli, he had really quit on God. And his two sons, they were sons of Belial, the Bible says. A lot of bad church going on. And don't that turn the stomach of God, not only God's people, but it turns the stomach of the world. And there's a lot of battles lost when that stuff goes on. Bad church going on. And there's some carryover here in the time and in the Word of God that we just read about. There's some carryover of bad church. And I want to bring some things out here in just a few minutes. But before that, let's get some ingredients out. That'd be all right, wouldn't it? I looked up, when Christy was making that soup, we had a conversation, Brother Gary. I read something or seen something a few years back about some soups, and there was, during World War II, there was a lot of soups born back then because of the rationing of the food. And they took all of the scraps, if you will, the leftovers, and started making different kinds of soups. But some types of potato soups was that way. How many of you knew that, by the way? Raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Education and a message. Some of that was called blitz soup. There was one of those during World War II times. Skilly wartime soup. Chunky vegetable soup. I think that's been around. I don't know. It's off the internet, so it's got to be true. Potato soup. Hamburger vegetable soup. Cheesy soup. Fish soup. I don't know about all that. Brother Matthew probably eat that. You know what the fish soup was? Fish soup utilized fish heads and bones, trimmings for broth, and they thickened it with flour and often included egg. Yum, yum. Here's why I brought that up. We've heard a lot of good messages lately. I'm going to mention some of them here. And I thought about the leftovers. I've been chewing on some of the leftovers of some of the messages in the Word of God that I've heard that hit me right square in the heart. I've been chewing on them. Got some leftovers, and I thought about this, about the time that Samuel was living in and how really crooked the church world was. And I'll say this, thank God for what God's doing here. Amen. Can I get an amen anywhere right now? Ain't it good to be in church where the Word of God is preached? But everybody don't get that. And you can get out in the world and you can find about anything you want to find. It's a mess. But I thought about some of the things that I've heard lately. And I just wonder, with all of the things that's going on in the world today, really, listen to me now, how subject we are, because there's plenty to eat. We waste a lot of food, don't we? There's plenty of Word of God going out too, isn't there? I just wonder how serious sometimes we take, when God touches our heart with some messages, how serious we take these things. Now, I don't want to preach anybody's message, but I do want to take some of the scraps and some leftovers and put them back in the pot here just tonight, just a little bit. And see if God wouldn't turn the heat back up on that just a little bit. Because listen, you're liable to be just like me. And knowing God needs to do something in my heart and your life and my life, and you get busy in the world that we're living in, and you forget that thing. So let's see what kind of soup we can make up tonight. I thought about this. Pastor preached, and I tried to look up the date. I didn't get it. The pastor preached about David not being in the battle. How many of you remember that? Man, that was a good one. 2 Samuel chapter number 11, verse number 1. I just want to read it. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when the kings go forth to battle. The battle's coming. There's always going to be a battle. That David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David, there it is, he tarried still at Jerusalem. He didn't get in the fight. And so Pastor said something there. I don't know if many of you called it, but Pastor said something right there at the end of his message that hit me. He said this right here, the biggest danger that he feels like we face today, as many of us don't recognize the need to be in the battle. And I thought about this, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because some of this will come out. But I thought about this. I don't think David's battle was necessarily putting his pants on and getting out there or donning his sword. He lost the battle way before the horses ever got mounted and the swords ever got sharpened. That battle was lost. Now, we'll leave that right there. You just put that in your pocket and we'll come back. David should have been there. He got relaxed. We get comfortable, don't we? We're blessed. We're blessed. Brother Connor, we're blessed. I'm thankful for the blessings of God. Nobody's knocking on my door. Nobody's beating the doors down here, not wanting us to have church yet. We're comfortable. We're comfortable. Thank God for that. Brother Keith Hutchinson came and he preached on being set free. You remember that? Oh my, I'm still, there's some, hey, it's going in the soup. Christy, I should have brought a big old pot. Should have told you to write some stuff down. We'd have had a big old soup up here. That'd have been good, wouldn't it? But Brother Keith preached on being set free. And how the prisons of sin, of religion, and of others keep us bound up. I thought about that. I wonder how many of us got touched that day. Went back to the world, said, God help us. And maybe God helped you there, but I thought about this. Are you still chewing on it? Here's what I know about Satan, and here's what I know about the battles. Is there that battle, you might have gotten some victory right there if you came to this altar and said, God, I need your help. But you know what? When you go out there, back out there, and we're going to see it in the Word of God, the enemy's still there. They're still ready to fight. So where is the battle, really? There, so being set free, that was so good. So we're going to put some of that in the soup. And then Pastor come back, I think it was the very next week, and backed it up with some other scripture and talked about being free in Christ. How many of you remember that? You better remember that. He's looking. Amen. It was good, wasn't it? I'm still chewing on it. I put some of that in my soup. And then this Wednesday night, Brother John came. He talked about the glory that excelleth. And the mountain Calvary. Y'all remember that, don't you? Well, that was good, wasn't it? Still chewing on it. Still chewing on it. And I put it in the soup. So let's get in our text tonight. We've got a few places we need to go. Some things, if God will help us. If God will help us tonight. Lord, this is in my mind. It's been in my mind. And here's the scary, Brother Jason, I don't know if you do this or not, but God will give me something. I'll see that in the text. I'll be like, oh, man, that's so awesome right there. Whoop! I got it. Thank you, Lord. And a lot of times you get up here and it's like, where did that go? Y'all ain't never did that. You ain't never done that. I ain't never did that. That was good, wasn't it? Let's look back in our text. Look at chapter 3 of 1 Samuel there. I'm going to take the first three verses here that we read, verses 19, 20, 21. Try our best to make our first point. We'll try to do it quick tonight if I can. Samuel grew, the Bible says, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. And it let none of his words fall to the ground. Praise God, God was with him. The man of God, he was using Samuel. Finally, somebody in the nation of Israel that knew God and that was in tune with God, because it wasn't Eli. Matter of fact, there was another prophet, if you will, that had to come to Eli and let him know that God had already turned his lights out. It's pretty bad. How many of you know that when somebody gets fired up in the Lord, people take notice? Amen. Do you want to be that? I do too. I don't want my words to fall to the ground, and the older I get, the more I realize my time's running short. And I want to do what I can for God now. God, help us to understand those battles that go on that get in our way for us to be what we ought to be in the Lord. And in verse 20, and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Thank God, the fame is spreading. We got us a revivalist now. He's, look at there, it's C.T. Townsend number one. It's somebody. You'll understand where I'm going here in just a minute. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, and the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Here's, if I can, you keep your hand here, but here's point number one. Actually, let's go. I want to back this up with some scripture right here. I want to back this up with some scripture. I get to do that since this is hot off the presses, okay? So God's using the man here. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 6. God's using a man. All of Israel understands it and knows it, and they've heard it. But this is one man. What about the rest of them? And I say this today, if I could make application for us, I love it when Brother Keith comes. I love it when Pastor preaches and the Lord's moving. And we can say, man, we got a real pastor. We got a man of God that's fired up. But can I tell you, that's him. That's not you. Brother Caleb, we've got a responsibility to be who we should be in the Lord. The battles are there. And so you better watch out. Here's what I want to say. You better watch out going to war just when somebody gets a little bit fired up. You may not be ready for battle. Look at Hebrews chapter number 6. Here's what I want to say. Look at verse number 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and the faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptism, the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. And I'll help you just a little bit with what's going on right here. But what you need to see out of verse number 1, don't get caught up in the perfect, in the word perfect, okay? A lot of people, because of the crazy doctrines of today's time, they'll get messed up. But here's what that word means without going into teaching it tonight. You know what that word means, going on into perfection? That means God has got your life and you're allowing Him to work in your life, and the Holy Ghost of God is working some perfection in your life. You've taken the hands off the wheels and you're doing and you're obeying and you're walking in the Spirit, and God's working some really good things in your life. That's it in a nutshell. But notice in verse number 1, the Bible says, moving on from the doctrines or the principles of the doctrines of Christ. So here's what you need to understand tonight. We ought to be getting to a place with the Word of God that it's just automatic when somebody sings a song like that, that it touches my heart. Yeah, we ought to be, we ought to never have to be prompted or primed to get excited about Calvary, Mountain Calvary, amen? Because the principles and the doctrines have been established in our life, and the Word of God has been, the foundations have been there, and we've moved on to where God's moving in our life. Let me help you a little bit with that. Back up at chapter number 5. Here's what the Bible says. Let's see. Look at verse number 12. Oh my, what an indictment. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are come such as have, and are become such as one in need of milk and of strong, not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern both good and evil. I thought about a baby drinking that milk. You realize that a baby would die if they just kept drinking milk? Brother Jason, your little man right there, he already looks like he's 2 years old in the face. But there's going to come a time he's going to get hungry for some more. But if they keep feeding him just that milk, there's going to be a lot of bad stuff happen. He's not going to grow. Eventually, he'll die. There's a lot of dead, can I say, there's a lot of dead Christians right now. Because we never get off the milk of the Word of God. I'll say this right here, and I thought about it. I got it wrote down somewhere, Pastor. This is where, when you're not ready to preach and you do it anyway, this is what happens. I may not have wrote it down. Here, let me make it up. all these things about being in prison that Brother Keith preached and Pastor preached about. You can look in the Word of God right here and you can about hang every one of them, the prison of religion, the prison of others, and the prison of sin. You can about hang every one of those on this scripture right here because we've not grown. If you're still a babe in Christ, you've got no foundation for anything else. You're going to grab onto a religion if you're trying to be good. You're going to be subject to sin if you haven't moved on past the principles of the doctrine of Christ. And if the Lord's not vibrant and real in your life, you're going to be subject to those. Hey, you're subject to them anyway, by the way. And so am I. So we can about hang it all right there. We can about hang everything, really about all the problems really that a Christian may have, is that we've not grown in grace and knowledge. It's the Word of God. Amen. It's the Word of God. You can't grow without it. You can't be where you should be without the Word of God. Yes, it's that important. Amen? So maybe your battle is, and we talked about the battles. Maybe your battle tonight is, I'm too busy. Maybe your battle's, I'm not that good of a reader. Maybe your battle's, I don't understand. Here's where we're going tonight, and Brother Connor, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. But you see, these battles come, and David wasn't in the right place when the battle was going on, but he lost the battle before the battle ever started. So I wonder tonight where our battles are. And as we're making a little bit of soup tonight and still throwing some of that good stuff in there because we've not forgotten about it and because it's still important, how about you let God turn a little heat on that? Where's your battle? Once you get real about this thing and find out where your battle really is. Because a lot of times we lose those battles before they ever become a battle. I'll say this, I've lost many a preaching battle a week before I ever got called to preach. 2 weeks before I ever got called to preach. And you preachers should have said amen right there. Amen. All right, let's get back over. I appreciate your attention tonight. I hope I'm making a little bit of sense. Y'all are really in it. And I don't know if you're saying this guy's crazy or if you're really listening. But I appreciate it. So point number one is you can escape prison by the Word of God. Want to get out of prison? Get in that Word of God. There is no substitute for it. There's none. Walking in the Spirit. Mature in the Word. Let's go to point number two. Look at verse number one, chapter number four. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were come in the camp, the elders said, "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines?" You know what I see right here? Point number two, I see a prison of religion right here. And I want to say this tonight, just adding a little bit to the soup, that prison of religion can be deceiving. You see, if we could spiritualize this just a little bit, the church here, the people of God, the nation of Israel here said, "Woo! Got us a preacher now. The Word of God's coming to Samuel. We're ready to go to battle." A lot of us to say, "I got in church." We ought to be in church. Started going to Sunday school. We ought to be in Sunday school. Started going to Wednesday night service. We ought to be Wednesday night service. But don't you fool yourself. There's still an adversary out there. All the people here that mounted their sword in sheath and went out to battle just because the Word of God started coming to Samuel. I don't read anywhere in my Bible that the nation ever repented. I never read anywhere in this account that the people said, well, we've been traveling in the wrong direction for a long time. Samuel, how about come pray with us? See, God's going to bless this thing. No, they said, let's go to battle. You better watch out. Listen, the prison of religion is very deceitful. Brother Keith told us, here's the answer. Just get to God. Just get to Jesus. If you feel trapped and you lose that fellowship, just get to Him. It's pretty good advice. Listen, here's what I want to tell you. When you stand up, get back to your seat, maybe before you get back to your seat, the battle's still there. Religion. The battle, the prison of religion can be deceiving. We have to have a personal walk with God. Samuel was the use of the Lord, but the people, I don't see where they ever got there. And so they were in battle, but there was something, listen, left undone between them and God. I don't want to go to battle with some things left undone. So here might be the battle for you. I've tried this and I've tried that. Listen, if I know the Holy Ghost of God and how He works, He's already spoke to you and said, well, this is probably in the way. And a lot of times we'll say, well, but look what I did. But Lord, I'm serving You this way and I'm serving You that way. Can I just say real quickly, it was a good day in my life when I stopped serving God how I wanted to serve God and I started serving God the way He wanted me to. Oh, it's a good day when I just decided nothing else really mattered but God. Oh my, it's a pretty good day. It's a pretty good day. So there was something there. There was something there. I wonder what was in King David's way before that day come. Listen, there's some things that we're up against in these battles that we face. Here, this is the part when we'll try to tie in the relative condition of the church in this day. Because here's what I know. The Bible says, in the last day, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers in themselves more than lovers of God. Hetty, how many? All that. How many of you believe we're living in the last days? So here's what you're subject to. You're subject to everything that's going on in Sodom. Let me get there just a little bit. In Deuteronomy chapter number 31... You don't need to turn there. But before the children of Israel ever got into the promised land, God told Moses this right here. He said, these people, these children of Israel, they're going to go in. And here's what the Bible says. God said they're going to go a-whoring after other gods. You know why God knew that? Well, number one, He was God. But number two, He knows what's in man. John 2:25, I believe, preacher. But here's what we do. Because of the blessings of God and the comfort of God, we get pretty complacent and there's nothing really bearing down on us. And so we say, well, I'm pretty comfortable. And then it was God, I believe I wrote this down right here in Deuteronomy 31:19. The Lord had Moses to write a song. And he wrote this song. He said, now therefore write ye this song for you and teach it in the children of Israel and put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness. Notice, oh, it's scary. that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. And if you're a Bible student, you know down through time what's happened to the nation. They have done what God said that they would do. They've gone a-whoring after other gods, and God's used mighty nations to punish them. As a matter of fact, fast forward to the cross, they decided they didn't want their Savior, their King, and they said, give us Barabbas, and we'll not have this man rule over us. Now the Bible says they're blinded. God's considered them all in blindness. And now, praise God, He's doing something great in my eyes. You know what it is? He's taken out of the Gentiles a people for His name's sake. And everybody ought to be happy about that that's sitting here. It's good. But here's what else I know. You could read Romans chapter 11, and there's a flow of scriptures that says this. Paul says this, don't boast after the natural branches. Because of unbelief, they were grafted out, talking about the nation of Israel. And now, what are we facing? There's coming a time that really the peoples of the world, the Gentiles of the world, you know what we're going to be in? Unbelief. And God's going to pick His program back up and deal with that nation again, the nation of Israel. So here's what I know about the last days is that not only perilous times are coming, but unbelief's going to be the mark of the day of the last days. And I can see it. Can you not see it? Here's how I know that we can see it. Here's what we say. Brother Gary, you could probably say this. Boy, I can remember down in Kingsport when we used to have that revival down there, that big old revival down there. Man, I remember how people used to come. I've got this witness. Growing up as a boy, I used to go over at Browder's Chapel Church. Man, they was on fire. I was just, I don't know, 4 or 5. I was old enough to know what was going on. 6, 7 years old. Here's what I remember. Couldn't get in the parking lot. Here's what I remember. People shouting when they got out of the cars. Happy to be saved. Happy in the Lord. And there was the Holy Ghost of God would settle on the parking lot and on that place. And I remember as a young man when them men would go up on the hill and they would pray. And I just wondered, I'd ask about it. And I was too little to go. But you know what? But I had a desire in my heart back then. I want to go see what's going on up there. There's something different about them men. There's something different about them men that got away with God. Oh my, I remember those days. Where's that at? Pastor, it's the battles. Oh my. It's the battles that we're not even recognizing. I'm making a little soup. Pouring some more in. Lukewarm. God said to the church at Laodicea, I were that thou wert hot or cold. God said, I can deal with somebody that's really cold, or I can deal with somebody that's really hot, but because you're lukewarm, He said, I'll just spew you out of my mouth. I can't do anything with you. It makes me sick. Isn't that how we are? Brother Chris, we're satisfied with our religion. We're satisfied with where we are, church. We're satisfied with our loved ones, listen, not being saved. See, I'm not satisfied with that. How broke are you about it? I'm looking in the mirror, Pastor. I'm not condemning nobody. I've got loved ones that I love. I believe I'd take a bullet for them. I believe I'd lay my life down for some of the people I've got in my mind right now. And they're lost. I look at myself and I say, oh, I forgot to pray for them today. I just wonder how serious I am. These are the battles. They're the battles. It's a lukewarm thing. So we're subject, listen, we're subject to the days that we're living in. We're subject to living in Sodom. We're subject to what's been going on around us. Satan's done a pretty good job of lulling us to sleep. We've got pretty comfortable in the blessings of God. I got to move. Let's look back in the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter number 4 again. Notice what they said, the last part of verse number 3. Let us fetch the ark. Well, I thought about that. There was something between them and God, and they got out and lost that battle. And they said this, well, I remember. Let's go get that ark. Let's go get that ark. Let's go. It was God's fault, but let us go get the ark. Let's fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. Notice, it may save us. Battle of religion. Prison of religion. You can be a good Baptist, but it ain't going to save you. You can be a good Baptist, but those battles are still there. It's not what you need. We need Jesus. So it goes on to say in verse number 4, so that the people in Shiloh, that they might bring up from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And notice, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. Now here's what I thought. That sounds really exciting. But here's what I thought about right here is the prison of sin. You say, I don't see that anywhere in there, preacher. Well, their names are Hophni and Phinehas. And if you go back, and I encourage you to go back and look at chapters number 1 and 2, the Bible calls them sons of Belial. They've done so many things, evil, if you will. I believe the one place the Bible said right there that the people that brought sacrifices to the temple, they abhorred the service or the temple, the service of the Lord. They was turning people against church. It was bad. And so I'll say this, if you're going to get sin out of the camp, if you're going to get sin and not be a prisoner of the sin that we all deal with every day, then it has to be complete. It needs to be whole. In other words, I would say this, if I think in this day, if they was really wanting to be right with God, and they really thought that God was going to bless them by bringing that Ark of the Covenant down there, it shouldn't have been Hophni and Phinehas that carried that thing. Because they're a mess. How many of us in our life will just compromise a little bit with this or that? Here's where I'm going, and I wrote this down for number 3. The prison of sin is compromising. You see, there'll always be something or someone to look at to say, well, I'm not that bad, or they're going to really think I'm really weird if I go that far with this thing. And that's what the devil used with you in your life. You don't want to get too carried away. After all, you know, everybody's still, I don't even know what the popular show, it's not Dallas anymore, is it, brother? But you know, and at the chance, at the risk of offending people in here, I don't want to do that. But I want to say it anyway. There's a time in my life, my wife's life, we were saved, that we would listen to country music and some different music like that. But when we really got serious with God, those things really got distasteful in my mouth. Here's what I know about a lot of Christians that are just either really religious or haven't really sold out to God yet. There's some of that stuff in your life that you have not committed to getting out of your life yet. And it could be anything. Here's the truth of it. You already know what it is because God's already spoke to you about it. So I don't need to go calling that stuff out. But here's the hard part about it. If you want to really get out of the prison of sin, it'll be fully and wholly, and you'll let God have your life. Here's the truth of that. You'll be happier than you ever thought you could be. Now, you may lose a few friends along the way because you're not as cool as you used to be, but you're going to gain a lot in God. And see, these battles, they don't just stop right here. They're waiting on you when you get back. But with the Word of God, Hebrews chapter number 6, with the foundations, the principle, you can't do it without the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, unless you commit to the Lord and the Word of God and getting in there digging, you're going to fail somewhere along the way with all this stuff that we're talking about. Got to get to a place where the foundations are there. And you're moving on. Okay, so the prison of sin's compromising. It was Hophni and Phinehas. They were still in the camp. Doesn't matter how big it is, how small it is. If you want God, if you want victory in the Lord in your life, you got to get it all out. Achan. Anybody remember Achan in the Bible? Amen, there he is. He looked, he saw, he desired, he wanted, he lusted after it, and then he hid it. That's what we do. So what is it in our lives? Verse number 5, look at it with me, and I'm trying to wrap it up. They shouted, and the earth rang again. Listen, the question is, we can shout, but where is the power of God? It's not in the earthquake, and it's not in the fire, and it's not in the wind, but it is in that still small voice. Is He with you? Is He with you? That's where the power's really at. And I'll tell you, we've got some of the pastor in the church here because I've seen, and glory to God, I've seen some testimonies this morning. And I love being in a place where folks are not ashamed. When you get to Can't Help It, it's pretty good. So we all remember, listen, how it used to be when churches was on fire. I mentioned this, when revivals were real. Sometimes we hear about the preacher that's fired up, and we love the presence of the Lord in the meeting, and we make a trip to the altar, and go with me to verse number 9, and I'm wrapping up. Verse number 9. You see, they were still having to go to battle. And we read it earlier. Here's what the Philistine leader said. He said, be strong. He said, be strong. Quit yourselves like men, O you Philistines, that you be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. And I think I've already said it. But listen, the battle's always going to be there. We're living in enemy territory. But we're more than conquerors through Him. So it's always the world. It's always the flesh. It's always the devil. Always going to be there. But I don't know about you. I know this little Jewish boy that was born in the mangers one day. They called him Jesus. He had a cousin. His name was John. He grew up and lived a sinless life. Then he was beaten and mocked, and he went to that cross the pastor was talking about this morning. And he rose again the third day. And he said, if I go away, I'll send a comforter. And then he called a man named Paul, and he said things like this, we're ambassadors for Christ. Pastor said it this morning, we're citizens of another country. Our conversation's in heaven. I don't know about you, but I'm just passing through. But I want to be as good for God as I can be. And I tell you this, these battles are still there. I think the pot's boiling a little bit. It smells really good. I don't want to forget these things. I don't want to forget them. You see, those soups back in World War II, there wasn't a lot to go around. Here's what I read about them. They were life-sustaining. See, the word, if it's true, and time goes on, and the enemy still seems to be closing in, the world seems to be getting darker, you're going to need something to sustain you. I wonder where the battle is in closing. We learn from Pastor and Brother Keith that our help's in Jesus, getting to God. But you might have got to God and not really realized those battles are still going to be with you. But when we get there, that's a good step, surrender's the first part. We realize that the best prison to be in is the one that we surrender to the Lord with. As Apostle Paul said, servant of the Lord, prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the place that the child of God's really going to be happy. That's the only place we're really going to be happy. See, everything that we've been talking about, all these prisons that out there, all these things that we battle, you don't find happiness in that stuff. But when you get to where you can be with the Lord, overcome some of these things, get past the foundational doctrines and walk with God, there's where the happiness is found in the Lord. So we need to learn how to fight. I thought about the prisons. And I'm trying to get, it's 15 after. Lord of mercy. I got to quit. But listen, I thought about the prisons, Pastor, that you used to go into. They won't let you carry very much in there, will they? Probably can't take pens and different things. You know why? Because them prisoners, you know what they know how to do? Brother Connor, they know how to fight. They'll take anything that they can get their hands on and make a weapon out of it. We're pretty weak. You see, those battles, we're not really in the battle when we ought to be in the battle. I'm talking about fighting tooth and nail. I'm talking about recognizing where the battles really are. Is it in prayer? Where's it at? See, those prisoners, let's put it like this. The night when the Lord went to the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed until great drops of blood came, you know what he asked his the three there, his disciples? He said, they went a little bit further, and he said, tarry here and pray. Watch with me. You know what they were doing? Sleeping when he came back. Two or three times, he said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? So we get a little bit weak. Here's what, all the while, you know what was going on? Old Judas Iscariot, ain't nobody told him to go out and be working. All the while these were sleeping, he was out trying to sell the Lord out for about 30 pieces of silver. You see, a lot of times the devil's got an energy about us, especially in the world that we're living in today, that we don't have. So where's the battle at? I need some more energy, Lord. I need the seriousness of the Word of God. I need to get in the battle. That may be the prayer battle that you need to fight. I thought about this, about learning how to fight. Fighting like a girl. You ever seen you ever seen two women fight? I'm about to get in trouble right here. When I was in high school, I seen a couple fights, Pastor, and they're ruthless. I'm talking about hair flying everywhere. They'll get a hold of each other's hair, and it's on. But you mess with, listen, when they grow up and you mess with one of them's baby, you better look out. We ought to learn how to fight. We ought to learn where the battles are. I say glory to God, He'll help us, won't He? He'll help us tonight. I better quit, Pastor. You won't let me come back. Come on, I'm done.